TV.
The indignation of God is coming upon the earth because of what our friend Christopher is displaying here. Even our friend Robert Lakey, knowing God, not as God, do they glorify or thank him? So knowing God is not enough for aeonian life. And so what of this strange phrase in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, knowing God not as God, do they glorify or thank him? I'm going to look into that very question today on MZTV. Thank you for joining me. I am Martin Zender, and we caught one in the wild. We caught one. We got one. We have a really prime specimen here, and our friend Christopher, of why the indignation of God is coming upon the earth. Someone who is educated, overeducated, reasoning about God rather than believing scripture, knowing God, certainly knowing God, but not glorifying or thanking him as God. And we will analyze this as long as it keeps giving fruit. Then we will release Christopher back into the wild, but that we have a specimen like this here who doesn't believe God, though he has all the outside trappings of it. It's a really great opportunity that God has given us to analyze this phenomenon. And it is a phenomenon that afflicts the majority of the human race. I am seeing more and more that it takes a radical, rare dose of the Spirit of God to make someone childlike enough to leave their reasoning, their vain reasoning, not saying we shouldn't reason about things, but vain reasoning, reasoning that flies in the face of plain scripture, reasoning that questions God, that doubts God, that fails to recognize God as God. Now, along this line, the description I wrote on yesterday's video, I thought it was pretty incisive, and I'm not going to let Christopher off the hook. I'm not going to get down in the weeds with him on any topic. I'm going to stick to the main shocking point, which is that Christopher thinks life is meaningless unless he's in charge of something. He doesn't see how life would even be worth living if he didn't have a sovereign realm in which to operate and do what, I don't know, impress God, impress the rest of us. I don't know what he wants to do. But he definitely is offended that God would be operating all. And it doesn't make sense to him. It doesn't make sense to Robert either. This is the problem. When humans run the truth of God through the filter of their own reasoning, of their own ideas of what they would do if they were God, of what seems right to them, and none of these things matter. And Paul mentions reasoning. He mentions the evil kind of reasoning that questions God. That says, yes, but why would, it doesn't matter. Shut up. God says something, that's it, that's done. There's no why would, but I don't understand why, but if God, be quiet. Let God speak and shut up. And I'm sorry that sounds harsh. It sounds harsh as I'm saying it. But anyone who knows God but does not glorify him as God is in for one big shock at the great white throne. They will realize that God gave them everything, though they knew him not. they will discover that their every action, their every breath, their every thought was of the deity. And it will be a hell of a shock, and it will be too late by then for Aeonian life. I'm trying to give people that shock now. It really is. It's an act of love. It's tough love. I'm trying to give them that shock now. And I don't want anyone to take refuge in the truth of the salvation of all. The salvation of all has nothing to do with Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. Knowing God, not as God do they glorify or thank him. Universalists believe in the salvation of all. Unitarians believe in the salvation of all. But neither of those groups believe it in relation to the very thing that accomplished it, which is the cross of Christ and the singular act of Christ and the fact that God has taken salvation out of the power of human hands. For as the psalmist says, salvation from a human is futile. These men don't believe that. They don't believe salvation from a human is futile. They think salvation from a human is essential. Human contribution is essential. And this is the poison that infects the human race via Satan. And it is the reason that the indignation of God is coming upon the earth. I have proof of it in Romans chapter 1. And I have proof of it that we have a specimen here in our circle named Christopher Alsrue. And it is quite educational to see this in action. I described yesterday's video. You can see it in print. If you go to the video, hit the show more tab. This is the video titled Free Willers See No Meaning in Life Unless They're in Charge. Maybe not a very sexy title, but it's shocking. It gets to the point. Christopher is a good, gracious man and intelligent besides. He's too intelligent. That's the problem. But he gave up the plot 2 days ago when he facetiously wrote on my comment page. Remember this? I'm going to say it again. This is so important to understand this. Quote, so I believe what I believe, you believe what you believe, and others believe what they believe because God is making us believe it. You have a podcast because God is making you do it. Christopher doesn't believe any of what he's writing here. He's being facetious. Making you try to convince people who disagree with you, but you can't convince other people to agree with you because God is making them disagree with you. All true. And if they want to agree with you, it will only be because God molds them that way in a particular moment. Well, of course. But Christopher's very next statement is, what a meaningless life. Not for God, but for us. He gets to play with the characters. God does. And we get to suffer. This is rank humanism on display. There you go. There it is. The entire I am sovereign / free will mindset in all its sickness. They fail to understand that life exists to glorify God, not them. God gets to play with the characters. We get to suffer. What does that say? Can you read beneath the lines there, in between the lines? Can you read the subtext beneath the text? It is this. Christopher wants to move the characters. Why can't he move the characters? Why can't I move some of the characters? Why can't I have a degree of sovereignty? My life is meaningless unless I can have a degree of sovereignty. As though life exists, as though life only has meaning if I am a free moral agent. Again, the mistake is assuming that this life exists for us to glorify ourselves or to give us a chance to impress God. No, this life is for the glory of God, to the glory of God, and God uses his creatures, and yes, he manipulates his creatures as he will to bring about a glorious consummation. That's the only way a glorious consummation will be brought about, is if God is being God, that is subjector. That's what the name means, El in the Hebrew, subjector. That is the only way God is going to make it all work out, is if he is in control of every little piece, because every big move is made of little pieces. The whole fabric of life depends on the minute parts of it. Everything is interdependent. One thing changes, everything changes. One person is free, then God can't be free. Because God can't get what he wants because his will would be clashing with the other free will. Two free wills in the universe is impossible, let alone 8 billion free wills. The closet humanist, this is what we have here. We have a closet humanist. A humanist resents that God, quote, gets to play with the characters. That is, that God is the potter and they are the clay. This is the most hated truth. It's hated by Christians. It's hated by the world. It's hated by 99.9999% of the human race. Apparently, it takes a miracle of gargantuan proportions to make someone believe this kindergarten explanation given by God to Paul of God's control of the human race. Potter and clay. I am telling you, only 0.00001% of the population believes it. Everyone else rejects it. Every single Christian I know rejects it. Robert rejects it. Christopher rejects it. And yet these men know God, but not as God do they glorify or thank him. The name God means subjector. He subjects. That's what he does. That's a bad word if we're applying it to human beings. Or you're subjecting someone to your will. And too often, like in 99.99999% of the cases, people assume that God is a lot like them. And if God is manipulating or if God is subjecting, then God must be bad. Because if they were manipulating or they were subjecting, then they would be bad. And so God must be like me. And so I can't say, we can't claim that God is a subjector or that God is a manipulator, even though he is a benign and loving dictator, manipulator, and subjector. That's what his freaking name means, subjector. So knowing God is not enough. Satan knows God. But not as God do they glorify or thank him. Robert Lakey, why would you thank God for something that God didn't do? You don't believe God is responsible for everything that happens. So you can't thank God for everything. In all things, thank God, Paul says. Thank God for everything, Paul says. I'm paraphrasing the man. Thank God for everything. Thank God. No, you can't. You can't logically thank God. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis. And who decides what God is in control of and what God's not in control of? You? Your reasoning? Your mood? What determines it? How about we let Scripture determine it? All is of God. Oh, there's some. That's amazing. Wow. That pretty much says it all. But only 0.00001% of the population believes that all is of God. Robert doesn't believe all is of God. Christopher Alsrud definitely doesn't believe that all is of God. He later says in a comment he wrote yesterday that nothing that happens, nothing, no evil that happens is of God. God's not responsible for any evil. Jesus, according to my calculations, about 80% of the things that happen in this world are evil. That gives God a very slim margin of control. This is the world according to Christopher. Not the world according to Scripture. Job says, shall we not receive good as well as evil at the hands of God? Blessed be the name of the Lord. God created evil. Isaiah 45:7. What do they do with that? Sweep it under the rug. In favor of their own philosophies and their own ideas and their own reasoning. The closet humanists resents that God gets to play with the characters. That is, that God is the potter and they are the clay, making them mere recipients. Oh, they hate this. They're mere recipients of God's sovereignty. They want to play with the characters. They want to be absolute directors on the stage of life. They think a God who operates the universe in accord with the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11, and who is doing, quote, according to his will with the army of the heavens and with those abiding on earth, Daniel 4:35, would necessarily be a petty punishing God. This is what Christopher believes. He knows God. Christopher knows God. He knows all about God. He uses big words. Clearly, he's been through 16 years of college and 45 years of seminary. He's just very smart. His head's this big with knowledge and information, and yet he does not know God as God. And he assumes that God, if this God is true, what do you mean if this God is true? Daniel 4:35 claims that according to his will, he is doing with the army of heavens and with those abiding on the earth. And Ephesians 1:11 says that God operates all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. But people like Christopher think that a God who does these things would necessarily be a petty, punishing God who would take the controls of this world only to make his creatures suffer. Sounds like a bit of projection to me. How dare the one who made me assume to know what's best for me? How dare he? How dare he dole out to me evil? How dare he discipline me? All evil is simply breaking, and it's part of the discipline of God. Hebrews chapter 12. What son does the father not discipline? And if you are not experiencing discipline slash evil from God, then you are not a true son of God. You're a bastard. Quoting Hebrews chapter 12. To Christopher, a world in which, quote, all those abiding on the earth are reckoned as naught, Daniel 4:35. Yeah. All those abiding on the earth are reckoned as naught compared to the influence God has upon the earth. People who believe in free will think that human beings have such weighty influence. So weighty the human free will that God himself must respect it and stand back and see what his amazing creatures will do. This is what every Christian believes. I'm describing human free will. To Christopher and others, a world in which, quote, all those abiding on the earth are reckoned as naught would be a meaningless one, a meaningless world. In other words, a world failing to put the likes of him, Christopher Alsru, in charge of something, anything, is a senseless, cold world that just can't spot talent, or at least give talent a chance. Come on, God. Give me a chance. Give me some room to perform here. I don't want you controlling me at all. I don't want any of your influence. I want to show you what I can do. And the God who gives to all life and breath and all is rolling his eyes, realizing, of course, that were he to actually remove his influence from any single human being, that human being would drop dead on the spot. No more thoughts, no more breath, no more life, no more philosophies, no more ideas. That's what would happen if they were really free. If there were a free will, if humanity had free will, all humanity would be dead. God gives to all life and breath and all. And 0.0000001% of the human race is childlike enough to believe God's clear and simple explanation of his control over the human race. To Christopher, a God who's running everything, a God who's running the world as he sees fit, that would be a meaningless world. It would be a world failing to put the likes of him, Christopher Alsru, in charge of something, anything. That would, to this man, that would be a senseless, cruel world, again, that can't spot talent, or at least give talent a chance. For only a world that has lost its senses would not give Christopher at least some degree of sovereignty. I mean, doesn't the man deserve an opportunity to show the universe what he can do when God leaves him completely and totally alone? I mean, how else could he be rewarded or blamed? The majority of the human race cannot understand either reward or blame apart from personal responsibility. Paul deals with this very issue in Romans 9. Why is he still blaming? Paul says, you will be protesting to me. Who has withstood God's intention? There's a good question for you. I hope everyone, the majority of my audience, understands that there in Romans 9, around verse 18 through 21, Paul is saying, who has withstood his intention? It's a completely rhetorical question. The answer is no one has withstood his intention. So then the question, well, why is he still blaming people? If everybody is doing what God wants them to do, that's the implication to anyone who can read, who hasn't been through 16 years of college, and praise Jesus, who hasn't been to a theological seminary, who can still think. Would realize that the objector of Romans 21, why is he still blaming? At least understands Paul's basic point and accepts it, that God really is the potter and really is the clay, and God really is responsible for even vessels of dishonor. God's responsible for them. And then he blames them, which he clearly does at the great white throne and elsewhere. Indeed, the doctrine of free will requires that God leave his creatures completely and totally alone. A free will must, by necessity, be a will operating apart from any and all influence. God cannot influence a free will. Satan cannot influence a free will. The weather cannot influence a free will. Nothing can influence it. Otherwise, how can a will be said to be free? Now, Christopher Alsru has illustrated for us the great crime of humanity. I'm sorry, Christopher, you're a decent guy. You mentioned my whiskey, and you said that you have no objection to me drinking whiskey. You just have an objection to me not sharing it. And I responded, I said, I would gladly tip a glass with you today, my friend. Would gladly do that. Because that's what mature people do. They can discuss these things of consequence and still be civil with each other. But I'm saying some hard things now. Christopher has said some hard things in response. I'm still going to go over his verses. I'm just getting this broad look. And I won't leave the broad look. I mean, I am going to get to the scriptures. But having said that, I'm going to stay with this broad truth. The great crime of humanity. What is it? Knowing God, not as God do they glorify or thank him. I'm going to go to that passage. But for now, Christopher knows God. He just doesn't glorify him as God. He doesn't. Does not. He doesn't know that God is actually God. That's another way to say that. People knowing God, but they don't realize that he's actually God. And in order to understand the import of that verse, you have to understand the meaning of the word, of the name God, the title God. In the Hebrew, El, which is subjector. In the Greek, placer. One who, sorry, Christopher, moves people around where he will. Like chess pieces. Like, I don't know, a potter and a clay. And I told everybody yesterday that I was going to get to Christopher's quote about the potter and the clay as a metaphor, and I'm not going to get there today. I can see that now. But I got next week, unless the Lord wants to come before that, which would be fantastic. I'll happily cancel my agenda for next week if the Lord wants to snatch us away. Christopher knows God. He just doesn't know that he's actually God. He doesn't know. And neither does Robert Lakey. He knows God, but he doesn't know that he's actually God. To know he's actually God requires one to realize that God subjects all, that all is out of, through, and into him, that there's not one thing in this universe that can happen apart from him, not one thing. That is the meaning of God, subjector, subjecting everything according to the counsel of his will. I read Romans 4:35, I read Ephesians 1:11, and many other verses. Isaiah 45:7, I create evil. Job, shall we accept good and not evil at the hands of the Lord? I'm sorry, what else is there besides good and evil? Anybody got anything else? No? Job said, shall we not receive good as well as evil at the hands of the Lord? Anybody got any other option? Is there a third option besides good and evil? No? Then I guess everything is from the hand of the Lord. Everything. It's not like we don't have scripture that says that. Romans 11:36, all is out of, through, and into God. No one has given anything to God that he doesn't have. And yet this free will theology, this free will atrocity, this free will lie assumes that people give God something that he doesn't have. Like love. God didn't cause their love. God requires their love. He needs their love. So they give something to him that he doesn't have, or that he didn't first give to them. That he did not first give to them. Paul says, what do you have that you have not obtained, that you have not gotten? We are the passive recipients of everything. Everything. We are the passive recipients of everything. And anyone who does not realize that now will have a hell of a shock at the great white throne. Oops, what happened to Eon 4? Well, you missed Aeonian life. Why? Well, God locked you up in stubbornness and didn't unlock you. That's it. I give it all to God. Speaking relatively, you had a guy who went to great lengths trying to show you the error of your ways and not recognizing God as God, trying to tell you that knowing God is not enough. One must know him as God. That is, one must realize that he really is God and everything that goes with it. Well, what is that, Martin? Romans 11:36, all is out of, through, and into God. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. I could go on and on and on. But philosophy and opinion and reasoning stand in the way for the majority of the human race. And Paul describes it perfectly in Romans chapter 1. So Christopher doesn't know that God is actually God. That is, that he's a supreme subjector of all, as described in Romans 11:36. Have I quoted that one yet? Out of him, through him, and for him is all? Yes? Okay. The audacity of such a deity who would actually be this and do this, that is, subjecting everything to himself, operating everything through him, running it through his power, his energy, his will, his intention, so that no one can withstand his intention. Paul, Romans 9, no one can stand no one can withstand the intention of God. No one's ever gone against the intention of God. No one. No one has ever done that. Seems to me that if somebody had free will, they could have done that, or they would be doing it. But no one has ever done it. The audacity of such a deity who would actually be this and do this offends Christopher, who projects upon this deity his own characteristics. Should he, Christopher, be put in charge of the world? Because if Christopher had all this power, he would definitely lord it over you and you would suffer. So he assumes, see, I know that because he assumes that a God who actually has this kind of power would be, is a lot like human beings. That's projection, my friend, it's projection. God is not like this. But Christopher, the specimen, I keep bringing him up because he's the perfect specimen. He's so intelligent. Knows so much about God, but doesn't realize he's God. This is amazing. We have one. We found one in the wild. We're going to let him go when we're done. But we're going to analyze the hell out of this, and we're going to learn something from it. God is not like this, but Christopher doesn't know that, and neither does most of humanity, apart from a mega dose of spirit. I'm seeing that more and more. If this is the lesson, then great. Those of you who have the childlike faith to believe that God is actually God, not only do you know God, but you know God as God. It takes a mega dose of the spirit. You can thank God, of course. Thank God that he gave you the spirit to believe it. It's only the spirit of God, a mega dose of the spirit of God, causing a person to believe obvious, but rather startling scripture verses. Yeah, I mean, these scripture verses are startling. Romans 11:36, 1 John 3:20, God knows everything. Oh, the implications of that. Discussed that yesterday. And all of Romans 9. Thus, instead of believing plainly stated scripture, those who know God but do not glorify or thank him as God choose human reasoning as their source of information. Uh-oh. The Apostle Paul saw this coming, and he wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, concerning those who know God but not as God do they glorify or thank him. He says, vain were they made in their reasonings, and darkened is their unintelligent heart, alleging themselves to be wise. Oh, the words they use, they are made stupid. Oops, human reasoning is not such a good teacher. I have to stop now for the week. I will be back on this, and we are going to milk this baby until there ain't no milk left.